the iPhone 5 isn't quite
the same. I think
we're
closing up at 2 o'clock. Okay, we'll call the meeting to order for today's date, which is December 11th. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
I'll move to approve.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
They've been moved in second. All in favor say aye.
Opposed.
Okay. Lance.
Yes, sir.
Airport operations.
Airport operations. Things are going good. I finally got our signs in for our after-hours facility and got those put up. So it's been marked. We did have a light pole fall and crush the fence during the one rainstorms. We got that one removed, and we had the other one on the other side of the box hangers had a big hole at the base of it, and we had Doug's Electric out, and they removed that one as well. We're going to get a look in to see how much a bid of getting those replaced, because right now we're down to one light pole on our apron. Obviously, it's a little
out
dark.
Of five originally?
A little dark.
Yeah,
out of five.
90% so.
Is that one over by FedEx okay?
Yeah, that one is it must be a newer pole. So it's on a concrete base, and it has this big giant collar around the
sonnet tube.
Yeah, base of it. So it must be a little bit newer pole. So we don't need to go to those giant, I don't know, those 40 feet tall or 30 feet tall poles that we had. Something a little bit more modern. It takes a little less energy. So I've got Doug's Electric out right now. They're over by the T hangers fixing the lighting problems. None of the poles were lighting up there at night, but those are fixed. When we were coming out, he was changing the light bulb in one of them, and all the rest of them looked to be lit up. So that's done. And while the fence guys were out repairing the crushed fence, I had them replace and update all of this walk-through security gates. So now all of those are fixed as well. So
are the lights near the T-hangers supposed to be motion-activated or just on all the time?
Sense photocell.
It's photocell. Okay. Yeah, I haven't noticed it work up there for a while.
So they'll be working tonight.
Yeah,
great.
It'll be working tonight.
You'll have to go out.
Go check it out.
After dark.
Okay, any questions? Carrie?
FBO. We've been watching our fuel prices really close and trying to see what trend is about to happen. For the first time in 3 or 4 months, we had an increase in fuel prices. So we had let the jet fuel deplete down to less than 1,000 gallons in the 12,000-gallon tank. But we were waiting for this trend. We kept waiting for it to see when it was going to go up. We didn't want to order fuel if it's going to keep going down another nickel every day or every other week. Finally, it went up 5 cents. We pulled the trigger and bought 8,500 gallons of fuel yesterday. And we have now replenished the jet fuel tank all the way to the top. We took a full load of 8,500 gallons plus what I had in there. So this 9,500 gallons is going to get us through all of the winter season without having to raise any prices. Now we've been asked if we can lower the prices. I just don't see that huge of a margin right now, guys, that I would recommend that we lower the prices. We're still in the average for the Northwest region if you look it up on AirNav. Some places are cheaper than us, they're always going to be, but there's also many places in Oregon that are more expensive than us. So I think our prices, we've not had any complaints, especially from our corporate customers and people. We just had a jet fly in yesterday, and they're starting to bring fishermen in here, and they're going to be parking a car out at the airport, but they ordered 400 gallons of fuel this morning. And when normally there's a tie-down fee, we waived their tie-down fee for them since they bought 400 gallons. It was a nice, and this is going to be on a regular basis. So this was a good sale, but you know, we're getting the money back in the coffers that comes out.
How are we doing on Avgas? How much you got on?
Avgas, we took in a half load of that. Same thing, we're watching the trends on it. And finally, when it got down low enough, we only bought a half load because it is still continuing to go down. It did go up for 2 weeks, but now this morning I notice it's come down 5 cents from a week ago. But we only purchased a half load just so we can watch the trend, and, you know, gosh, 10 cents saves us you know, quite a bit of money over 8,000 gallons. So, but we're holding steady right now at about 4,500 gallons in Avgas. That's what I have on store, and then my tank is filled completely. The self-serve and all the trucks are filled. So I think we have plenty of capacity to get us all the way through the winter season into early spring. And we'll keep an eye on the prices. If we need to, we'll pull the trigger again, get another half load in there, and try to keep the fuel prices. That seems to be one of the most complained about things. So if we can hold it steady without up and down, up and down, up and down, it seems to get less complaint. So that's what we're trying to do. But about 4,500 gallons. We just finished installing lock boxes inside. Lance got the signs put up in the after hours, a little hut for when the FBOs closed. Today we finished installing like real estate push button lock boxes. So pilots coming in after hours. The old method was to leave them in the visor, and we're trying to get away from leaving keys in the visor and under the mat and driving away. So it's now in place. We now have a secure area where keys are locked up, and we can change the codes on a daily basis. And we have two boxes, so there'll be box number one, box number two, and then we let the pilot know, hey, your car keys are in box number one. We, for this particular date, we put something easy to remember, the runways 16342. You know, that's, those are the combinations. But we can change those on an as-needed basis. But wanted everybody to know we have that thing up and running, and seems to be pretty good.
Are they for the keys for the courtesy cars?
Or no,
the
ma'am. No courtesy cars.
Cars?
Yeah, just for rental cars. And these are after-hour arrivals. And this way they don't pay a call-out fee. I mean, it works out for everybody. It's been kind of a thing that's going on for a couple of years.
Terry, is there Wi-Fi in that little spot?
Yes, there is. There's also, we had a telephone is also installed.
Yeah, down, we've installed a telephone. The Wi-Fi has been fixed.
Yeah.
So you can get Wi-Fi in that building, telephone, local calls only. And then eventually we do want to look at putting a porta potty on either side of that building for after hours in case somebody needs to use the restroom, obviously. So.
I tell you, this is a big deal. This is because the summer, as the hours get extended, you know, we're down there a lot after you guys go home, and there's a lot of activity down there, and this is just one more service
after work
that these guys are going to absolutely love.
Okay.
So good job on that. I was also wondering how you guys would feel about maybe having the chamber come down and put maybe just a little information.
We'd love it. In fact, I had our temporary help today after Lance and I got out of there. Just said, hey, we're actually going to be using this room tonight. So we actually got out there and cleaned it up, swept all the floor up, tried to get it, you know, presentable. And tonight Pacific Shrimp is going to be coming in there and using it. So,
Mark, is that something you'd like me to contact Lorna about doing?
Anybody could contact her. Sure, if you let them know you've got that out.
We've got it. We've got the thing is ready. It's ready for literature.
Or stuff like that. Over there, tear off tablets with a local map information.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I'll go ahead and contact her.
Okay.
And have to get some stuff there. Anyway, that's a big service. A good job on that.
Yeah, we're trying to get that done. As far as anything else in the FBO, it's been kind of a slow month. As you guys know, we've had a lot of weather, a lot of rain. But we continue to have customers on a pretty regular basis. Our fuel sales are still strong. And we've got some interested parties that are down talking to us about stuff for next year. But everything's in the kind of in the planning stage. I didn't want to bring it out now. And let the infrastructure build, and let's get everything in place. And then we'll bring it to the committee and present it.
So no flights from Tucson yet?
No, sir.
Okay.
No Tucson flights yet, but
but
it's not dead. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
The ideas are not dead. So.
What about Enterprise?
Enterprise, just an update on that. I did speak with their district manager because it was appearing that they were dragging their feet on this concessionaire agreement. So I called them, said point blank, if you guys want to do business at the airport, we're going to need this signed. And I said, are you giving me the signal that you're pulling out of here and you don't want to do business at the airport? He said, no. He said, I'm not authorized to sign it. So I had to ship the document up to Portland. Those people had to send it to their attorney to okay it. And then So it's on its way back here, but they did express interest. They are not leaving the airport. They are signing the agreement, but it just took a little bit more time. It had to go up to the proper channels. But they have full intentions of staying at the airport and signing the agreement.
How's the Toby Murray thing going?
Toby Murray has been going very well. Just a note, week before last, all the cars were out. And we just had several of them that came in. And then every Monday, I grab all the receipts from whatever's happened from the week before, drop them off at Toby Murray. They run all the credit cards. Mm-hmm. They wash the cars while I'm in there getting the credit card slips ran and vacuum it and everything. And then we return it back to the airport. So far, it's been going really well. The pilots absolutely love having things right there on mm-hmm. on field, and it's making a big difference. And so, I don't know. I thought Enterprise would have this done by now, honestly, guys. But they evidently, this guy wasn't as big of a, he didn't have as much authority as he thought he did. So he was not authorized to sign the agreement. So, but Toby Murray's been going very well. We've had nothing but good things to say. Toby Murray's really happy because they're getting people test driving their cars. Mm-hmm. And they love it because the cars are coming back after a two-day rental, and they have 23 miles put on it. And so they're getting the money. So what they're planning to do is they're going to keep these cars for several years out on our lot, then they'll just turn right around and sell them.
As lightly used.
But how's the transaction then going from Toby Murray to the city for the 10%?
They're going to be issuing a check. We haven't worked out the detail. It's either every quarter or every 30 days. But we are keeping track. We're saving copies. We know exactly what's been rented and what isn't. So, and then Jim had made a note to us last week to make sure that when we do get these things, that it goes into the proper fund, that we're making sure it comes back into the airport.
Is that the Terry Durham funds?
Yeah, I wish.
No, it should go to the airport.
Into the airport fund. Okay. So we'll make sure when those things do come in that we follow up and that it gets put into the
Maybe once we get going, it'd be nice if you could bring, at least a financial report on how that's going so we can see. I don't know when the last time we've looked at a city budget, city airport budget. It's been a long, long time.
Sure.
And I'd kind of like to take a look at an airport city budget. I mean, that's what we are, the Airport Advisory Committee. Mm-hmm. I like numbers. I like to look at budgets.
Gotcha.
I like to see what's happening financially. So that would be a good thing the next meeting, if we could take a look at a current airport budget.
What we're doing, what's going on, what's coming in.
I'd like to see that.
Okay. We'll work on that for you. As far as the rest of the stuff, the FBO, that's it. It's been, like I said, kind of quiet. The fuel stuff is...
We did have that function, the Coast Guard meeting on the 4th.
Yeah, Lance, we got permission from Jim. We are Coast Guard City, and the Coast Guard used the airport for their annual party.
Cool.
Lance hosted it, got lots of pictures and stuff to show the rest of the city that were volunteering. Also, I had a call from Public Works. They've requested to use the airport for a forklift training class, which I agreed to. And so Public Works will be coming into the airport next month. We're going to empty everything out. They're going to do forklift training classes in the hangar at the airport.
To lift fewer planes?
Steve Schuster's plane has been donated for forklift class. Yeah. And that's it for the FBO.
Okay, well, thank you very much. How about Ted? How about where's all this water going? Is it still going where it's supposed to be going?
Yeah, for the most part. And I believe Iron Horse, for the 1634 rehab project, data collection is darn near done. I believe they're out there for today and tomorrow.
I just talked to Terry Kessler, and they're doing some negotiating, and they should be out by the end of this week to finish up that north pipe.
Okay, they have another day or so of data collection on the two large, it's really down to one large culprit, but there's two large culverts that run beneath the two runways on Grant Creek. Took a lot of time and effort. There was a lot of debris accumulated over 70 years that had to be cleaned out and so forth. And it just went a little bit beyond what the contract, the consultant had with them. We've got money in the grant to cover it. It's going to be some additional monies for them to finish out the job and increase their scope a little bit. And about another day or two's worth of work, we should have that data. We did get information back from the FAA. It's definitive that it needs to be a crown runway. Can't be a shed. That's the final answer.
It's a drag.
Yeah, on that. And everything's moving right along. FAA NAVAIDS out of Oklahoma City, I believe, will be coming out to start some location work, which will be incorporated into the design. Then there's some impact on the design, but it's not their time schedule, and ours with the runway design is not necessarily quite, you know, copacetic. But they're going to be, Davey, I talked with him the other day, and I told him that you were the guy to talk to for getting in and out. He was wanting to know about our badge system and some of those type of things. I said, I think
our badge system.
What's a badge?
I'll give him one.
Yeah. Lance at 20.
Yeah. To fix it up. But other than that.
What are they doing with the NAVAIDS? Gets effective?
As I understand it, and of course you guys probably know this better than I, but there's equipment out there that we don't own as part of the airport. Yeah. Well, it's the FAA. Sure. They won't let the design team locate that to be incorporated into the design plans. We have to subcontract the FAA to come out and locate that and then reimburse them with money that we're being reimbursed from the FAA. So well,
these guys can't look and say there's a building there. They have to have the FAA guy tell them there's a building.
Well, I believe
it shouldn't affect the NAVI.
John Security.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, they have to get some...
their money, I mean, I understand.
Some subcontractors for the electrical locates and some of that type of stuff. But yeah, they don't want us to do that directly, or our design team to do that directly.
Okay.
One other thing that is a design parameter, not to throw this out there, I don't know how real, viable, to talk about the casino bringing in some.
So, yeah, we haven't.
Flights.
We've tried to research that and getting a hold of. The person we have is, you know, like trying to find God. It's impossible sometimes. Yeah. So we're waiting on him, but I did talk with Terry Kessler earlier today, and I'll have to talk with Jim about it.
He's wanting a letter.
Instead of going with the casino for the letter, because, you know, they've called a few times, but... It could all of a sudden just fall apart. So something that's a little bit more viable, has a little bit more hold to it, is our disaster
tsunami preparedness
team or whatever.
I don't understand what you have. Can you back up a little bit? I don't understand
what this is about. Yeah.
No, I don't know what this is about.
Okay. There was talk from the casino one time to be bringing some charter flights in on 737. And depending on the number of cycles and so forth, it doesn't change the geometry of the airport per se, because it could accommodate that occasionally if needed and necessary in the pilot's discretion and so forth. But if it's of routine nature, it could impact the pavement design. So really what the consultant's trying to nail down is a design parameter. It's just like saying you got to carry 1,000 pounds or 2,000 pounds, whatever. It's not that it can't, but if it's something of a routine nature, you need to incorporate it into the design. And it, to me, from my engineering judgment, would be that we can't, don't let it hold it up.
Yeah, no.
I think we just need to move
don't
forward.
Don't let it hold it up, or if we can get, he said some type of letter from, I think there's a local, I don't know, or another committee that is for the tsunami preparedness, you know, and what the viable aspects for the airport are for that thing, because if we're the only airport after a tsunami or a disaster that is going to be getting in, air support of some sort, we have to have
planes.
We have to be able to support, you know, if a C-130 has to land with emergency relief and stuff like that. So just, did you have a question?
Better to overbuild.
Yeah, well,
that's what they're trying to
do. That's right. What we need is we need to have a letter of intent from, or a letter
something substantiating that we need to incorporate that design parameter, because my understanding is, don't know the complete history, but that at some point over the continuum of the last 30 or so years, the FAA may have said, okay, yeah, go ahead and design it for this maximum probable use, and that never quite developed, and so don't know if there's quite the appetite for that without some further substantiation.
Well, the chairman could probably have some input on this, but that's one certification that we don't want to lose.
It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the Part 139.
No.
It's really just a design parameter.
So that we don't lose.
Right. It's just kind of good engineering judgment. If we're going to have something that's heavier a lot, we ought to design for it.
Right. It sounds like a landing fee to me.
Very well, could be a landing fee. And I mean, just so you are up to date, you weren't here at the other meeting, but we had a couple of phone calls. The guy first said, hey, I want to bring in an EMB 170. Can you guys get us a set of stairs? And so Lance and I start looking, oh, yeah, we can find stairs.
Sure.
So we kind of hinted it to the committee a little bit, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, don't worry, we'll get stairs. Well, 2 weeks later, the guy calls back and says, well, I've changed airplanes, and now I'm going to be doing the 737. Well, meanwhile, we mentioned this to Terry Kessler, and he says, hey, if we get a letter of intent from these guys, we can include this into the design thing. Well, then Lance and I start going back to Chinook Winds. Nobody knows anything about this guy flying.
And who is this guy?
That's the problem. We don't. And
it's
so,
not a casino jet.
So when we talked to the design guys, they said, hey, you know, that's a great idea, but you might try this avenue to get this air runway funded.
And when it was repaved 30 years ago, there was a charter flight, world-class charter, something coming in with the 727. And at that time, they had designed the weight sustainability to be able to handle that on a consistent basis. Well, now if they redo that, because we don't have that 727 coming in, there's no future prediction for it. They probably will go with a more economical base for the runway rehab, and we don't want that at all. So that's why when I was talking with Terry, he said maybe if there's a the CERT team, if they could have a letter or just write a letter saying, for impact of, if there is a disaster and we need some type of air relief in, that more than likely going to be, flying in some larger planes with, equipment or food or stuff like that, for, shelters and whatnot, it would be into this airport.
One of the things we need to do as part of the design, and I'm fairly certain it's in the line items, is we need to do a sensitivity analysis. In other words, if you can incorporate that into the design, a higher specification aggregate base and some of those tighter spec type thing, and it's, tens of thousands of dollars on a millions of dollars project, you just go ahead and
do it.
Yeah, and so we'll see what that impact is of incorporating that design framework without necessarily having the, definitive information from somebody saying we're going to be loading this many times.
No, we can't base our decisions on what somebody might do.
Right.
But did that, Ralph, wouldn't that also imply on the taxiways also, the design framework?
Well, has to. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, but I was thinking you might get a hold of Military Airlift Command. The Air Force, because they may not even want to talk to you, but on the other hand, say, hey, tell them the story, we're about to repave our runway, are you guys interested in supporting a heavier build, just in case you have to use our airport?
What's the name of that military aircraft?
Well, Military Airlift Command. You can start by calling McCord up here, that's one of their bases, and they probably put you in touch with the right people. You might have to play. Make 20 phone calls before you got the right guy.
Join
the
board. Well, I know the Coast Guard, they flew in that C-130.
Yeah, well, the Coast Guard's another one, because the Coast Guard uses C-130s, Air Force C-130s, C-17s.
Heavy.
C-17 would be the biggest thing they've
heavy. Fully loaded.
What size are the NOAA aircraft that they're flying?
Oh, they have Twin Otters.
Those are Twin Otters.
Small.
They do have some bigger airplanes, but they all got them on the East Coast.
They're not in Miami. The Hurricane.
Right.
Those are C-130s.
In my previous life before I retired, 5 years ago, I think Jim may have seen this, there was a fellow working under his doctorate who worked with me, worked with the Oregon Department of Geology Industry, worked with the military, and I have that chart. And I have the type of aircraft, what the weight of the aircraft is. Mm-hmm. It's all in plastic and what have you. All the recommendations that would be made, the communications, the helos that would be brought in. Okay. And he did a lot of research on this for his doctorate at Oregon State University. Mm-hmm. And Jim, let me bring that in to you tomorrow, because what I was going to do is bring it in to you and see if I could present it to the council in regards to the Newport Airport in case of a disaster. I'll bring that in to you tomorrow. Can you take a look at that?
Yeah,
but
that
even just like so, and all Terry Kessler needs is just a letter stating the importance of having a heavier built runway for disaster relief.
And this would be a good source, because this was approved by all the levels that he had talked to in order to get his doctorate.
Yeah.
Okay. In engineering.
It would have to be from the disaster team or, you know, somebody higher than myself, obviously.
Jim's replacement would create a nice letter for that, I would think.
Yeah.
Is there a designation for our airport? Like it's regional? It's more regional than other airports?
Municipal.
Municipal. Well, the thing is that there's...
We have the only airport really between here and...
Yeah, there's North Bend, Coos Bay, Newport, and Astoria. And so if there's any significant damage, I mean, they're going to use one of those three airports to offload supplies to help those people.
There's also another feature that we're working on this. You take a look at the elevation of all those other airports.
And depending on the size, we're going to be going left.
That is correct. They're not
going to... I know North Bend is.
Yeah.
And also included was here was something that was no longer finished after I left. And I think Jim's aware of this. We were using the fishing fleet for equipment coming out here, going into all food stuff and what have you, going into the different areas. And I had already contacted, because in case of something, there's no electricity, there's no television, there's no radio stations west of the Cascades. So how is the city manager, how is the mayor going to communicate with the people in Newport on where to go for supplies? What I did, we worked with the Bend radio station. We have all the backdoor numbers and what have you by satellite contacting them, and under frequency of 1110, which you can get from 6 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning, they would increase all their power. And tonight, on your AM station tonight,
yeah.
I hate their format because it's one of those talk show type of thing, what have you. But I think you'd be surprised how strong they are here in the Newport area.
1110?
And they have agreed to go ahead, or they did 3 years ago, agreed to go ahead, and once they got information, to broadcast your information here to the citizens here on the coast. That is also documented in this
Jim, I heard you mention that you would like to give a report, an update to the city council. Do you still plan on doing that?
I was just going to give Jim, show them what we had, because I showed it to previous mayor and members of the council about 5 years ago, and they said, yeah, that was interesting, I'd have a copy of this and what have you, but they never followed through on that.
I mean, Jim's got a lot going on. I don't know if you'd be the guy that would, not that he could.
Well, see, there's another committee, which I think Beamer is involved in with the tsunami thing and what have you, and I was never contacted regarding.
I just think with this big overlay project and with, you know, tsunami on the top of everybody's mind, I think an update to the city council with respect to the information you have would be appropriate.
I think the committee here would be interested to see that the airport was a focus of this document.
Yeah, remember that. It was.
And all, everything else was...
It's one of the easiest ways to garner more money, too.
I just, kind of as a generality, I'm on another, I sit as a staff on another, the bike plan committee. They have a plan to get in front of council in January or early February, just to kind of introduce themselves, because there are some new council members and things, and what their mission is, and kind of make it, so it might be an opportunity for you to do that.
I think
too.
It would, and I'd be happy to be involved in that project. I think it's important. I think it's important the council has the airport undermined and knows what's going on down the airport. And that certification from FEMA is something that you have worked very hard at.
Well, everything you see in the paper is, you know, wait for the public officials to give you information, what have you. There is no information, except aeronautical, except for the fishing fleet and what have you, for communications, and that's not going to go any place.
Right.
Yeah. Jim, I'll bring that in tomorrow. It's very impressive.
Cool.
And it has a type of military aircraft, helos and what have you, capabilities, what have you, the weight, everything in regards to it, and how it could be used at the airport.
I would think you'd be able to get some information or a letter from state emergency people, too, about their thoughts and plans for the three main airports on the coast and backing up the need for having a substantial runway. So... I don't know who that would be, Jim. Can you think of who that would
well,
be?
Well, actually, Oregon Department of Aviation contacted us last week, and I mentioned to him about this remote communications, and he said, you know, the person you really need to talk to, he's in charge of coordinating all the emergency airports for the state of Oregon, John Wilson,
okay,
the ex-manager.
interim.
The interim.
Our temporary manager that was out there, he is now in Salem. He's now in charge of gathering all the information for airports in the state of Oregon and putting together some type of inventory that the governor has asked for, you know, just a preparedness statement. So he's pointed out that I should be contacting him. I've got a note on my board to contact him starting tomorrow. And this is some good information we can bring back to you guys next month.
Yeah, get him to send a letter and talk about how important the airport is to...
But that's who's in charge of it now. It's John Wilson, the ex, the temporary manager.
There's also a document in regards to, in case something happens with rationing of fuel in the state of Oregon, what agencies would get fuel and how many gallons and what have you. And I did put in for the Newport Airport how many thousands of gallons of aviation fuel and what have you.
Cool. Okay.
And that's on record at Salem.
Okay. We'll take a look at that.
Any questions of committee comments, Mark?
Sorry, I was at the last meeting. What's going on? Terry, I was not aware. Anytime a pilot sees water in the fuel, you get anxious. Did we determine how that water got in our fuel tank?
Yes.
And is it? It's been rectified, obviously.
No, sir. It's rain. It has
rain.
Been there.
Rain.
Need more climate change.
One thing that will change it.
Is this strictly condensation?
No, it's strictly water coming in from unknown sources, and we have been working on it for 4 years. And
it gets better every year, though.
Well, it does. And now, in all fairness, the weights and measure guys used to call me, and he'd say, "I know I'm not supposed to be calling you, but I'm in Florence."
Yeah.
And you know, and so I go down and I'm in and I'm getting the water, you know, and I mean, I no sooner get the last bucket of water out and he pulls in, does it, okay, we're all, you know, and it's, yeah, thank you, we made it through another month. And this last time, I mean, granted, it was a quarter of an inch, but I said, you know what, I can't start getting things fixed if we don't get some documentation that I got a problem. So,
yeah.
Now, we did get the water removed and got the thing returned back to service, and I had a call from Kirk Trigg that he's in Depot Bay today, and, you know, be prepared. So I went down with Gary, our temporary guy, went down, and I went over this avgas all I could, and I pumped and pumped and some, and it's clean and dry. Now it's raining. And hopefully he'll get out there and do this inspection. But yeah, it is a daily struggle to keep the fuel clean and dry.
Well, it's raining.
How about a shed over the thing?
No. A shed would absolutely make my life easier.
Well, is that just the avgas and jet fuel?
Jet fuel's never had that problem. Now, Lance and I have been out there. We took every possible nut and bolt on the avgas tank, and we put special neoprene washers. We put seal around all of the openings. There's an air vent that's on a big tube. We've got a 5 gallon bucket over the air vent, bungee corded down. But the rain comes off this coast at 70 miles an hour.
And it goes up.
And it'll climb 6 feet up a wall, and it gets into this tank. And, you know, we're talking about a 10,000 gallon tank that's, you know, 40 feet long. And they stick a wooden stick down in the bottom, and a quarter of an inch, you know, in that kind of volume, it just doesn't take very much water to show up. Mm-hmm. So it's a struggle that has never gone
away.
Here's my
fear factor about this, from a pilot. And Ralph, you and I both have read stories about this. If something happens, if a pilot comes in, loads his plane with our fuel, and this is in the report, that there's water in our fuel,
mm-hmm.
I'm not an attorney, but I would think that our city would have a problem. And I...
Plus the big tank, you take it out and put it in a small tank, then you take another tank, they all go through filters, so we're not talking the small self-serve.
Yeah, not only that, but on a daily basis, every tank, including that fuel farm, the self-serve, the trucks, are all sumped and recorded on their clean and brightness.
And they're locked.
Never once has any truck been failed. no vehicles or the self-service.
It's just a tank.
It's just our main storage tank. And like I said, a quarter of an inch on a 10,000 gallon tank.
Sucking out of that and putting it in your plane.
Yeah. Right. No, sir. Yeah. That is not.
And those logs probably, they're readily available.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they are.
And, just, and the FAA, every time they come in, first thing they do, they take our log books and they look at it. And
okay.
We have documentation on every vehicle.
Perfect.
Okay, on a daily basis.
Perfect.
365 days.
And so. None of that, all that water sits in the bottom of the tank. And the way the tank is set up is that there's a float and it only sucks fuel off the top. Definitely. And it, so if you have the bottom of the tank here, it only sucks the fuel that's off the top and water right. always is in the bottom.
Well, I understand so, that, but okay. It's not a big deal to mine. I'm just thinking if something ever happens, the city's going to want to, you guys, we're all going to want to cover our butt.
Well, we've actually, there's been two, what it says is that wherever the plane fuels last is the destination, is the origin. Yeah. And we've actually had two incidences where, I don't know if you remember the USDA guys that crashed, just going back to Corvallis. They had, that was 2 years ago, and then
I do
the other more recent one,
in Toledo.
The Toledo guy, yeah. The 95-year-old the pilot.
Mm-hmm. Chuck.
Each time we are required to take samples, and that's the very first thing they look at, and each time we've passed with flying colors on our fuel.
So as far as the liability goes,
those logs are important.
The FAA comes in, they basically take over. And so.
And between the sumping, if anything comes out where it's not, you know, nice and clean and bright, or, you know, straw colored for jet fuel, we really look through that thing, and that's never happened. I've never seen anything at the nozzle where we sump daily come out where it's been contaminated or anything like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
The one you're talking about.
The avgas tank? I think we own both. I think we own both those tanks and the self-serve one.
Well,
and the jet A truck.
Just happened to see that, you know, I think that when you have a steel tank out in this weather uncovered, it's probably not a good thing. Why don't we cover them?
Well,
they don't
Jeff,
need a huge amount of cover.
We've actually had the fire department out, and they did not want a cover over the tank for whatever fire rule that they had at the time.
They like things
so
like
yeah, they,
which guy is that?
That was Rob Murphy. We had out, and he didn't want. They didn't. There was no. We couldn't put a structure over it. Now, if you're looking at, you know, the tank was built in like 1970, so obviously it's a little used. So finding all of those, and it's rusting severely around parts. So taking the time to drain it and have it polished and repainted is probably going to be a waste of time. It's just going to keep getting worse and worse.
Is
so really,
Jet A tank as old?
Yeah, they were both made at the same time, same company in Ohio.
Maybe Ralph knows. Do people cover tanks?
I've never seen one covered.
You know, I don't recall one.
But there's a reason.
We don't have any plans for replacement.
Maybe a federal surplus.
There was
we find some surplus tanks.
Well, you need bigger ones anyhow.
Until the McCarran Museum came down, then we were going to move it, and then at that point we were going to get them updated. But to move them from where they're at, you have to build a brand new facility to put them on, which is the problem, because they have to, the facility, now we're...
Has to have containment
for every gallon that's in that tank. So right now we're kind of grandfathered in. They kind of look at it and go, yeah, we know. But it basically just runs out, and that's not... So when they get moved, if that ever happens, it will need to be...
Well, it seems like you need new tanks within the next 5 years.
Have to budget for that.
I think that's something that we should put on our long-term...
Right. It isn't moving. It's building a new one.
Yeah, I think you need new tanks in 5 years, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Plan for 5 years. And
well, is that something that we should put on our five-year plan? And
is it an AIP money or not?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know. Is the FAA paying for that? Some, you know, in past history, they have, they haven't.
Yeah, they, well, they just, I have a letter, I have an email into Kevin Latshaw, and I haven't heard back from him. I'd have to send another one, but they just passed the Standards Act, the FAA Standards Act of 2012, which they're giving out money for, you know, updating facilities that are old.
Containment, especially.
And it's like,
one of the things on the list, wasn't it?
Well, it was fuel, truck.
Truck containment.
Containment. So I don't know if that would extend. I have an email into Kevin because I, you know, we have obviously some issues with our FBO building, our terminal building, and our fuel facility. But I haven't heard back from him yet on that. And
so you'd rather have the tanks up closer and more convenient, right?
Well,
or is that, or where they are, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't really matter.
Well, we'd like to move it to where we're not driving up and down the taxiway.
Yeah.
That would be.
That's a nightmare to drive.
But where to move it where we're not driving up and down the taxiway might be over there by the T hangers, where we can go out the gate, put a facility in over there. But I don't know how saturated that ground would be. There might have to be a lot of fuel.
Well, you got to have it so far from the facility. Yeah, you got to think about where future development.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Where are you going to have it again?
So.
Yeah. So, there's. There's that with the fuel farm.
It seems like planting some seeds for new tanks is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Mark, anything else?
Yeah, I do. And she's here. I'm wondering, you know, we still have hangers that are falling apart down there. I know we went out to pictures. I want to know.
We saw the pictures last time.
We had a slideshow, and I
missed a lot, man.
Yeah.
How are you going back to Michigan for Thanksgiving?
Actually, I am remiss in that we are preparing a letter to the hangar owners, and
perfect.
It's sort of sitting on my desk. I apologize.
Oh, that's fine. It's no big deal. And a couple months ago, the committee discussed the importance and the value of sending you guys off to either Oregon Department of Aviation meetings or FAA meetings, and I'd kind of like an update on how
yeah,
that's
we,
going.
Yeah, we got a personal invite from Jeff Keynes, who is the guy who, he's the Oregon
coordinator,
Oregon Department of Aviation, and he extended a personal invitation to Terry and I to go to one of the meetings in February that has some of the, I guess the more, I don't know if they're the higher ups or what, but just to introduce us to our peers to get contact so that we can have somebody to, you know, hey, I don't know how to do this, or hey, you know what, you know, can you help me? So
networking.
They've had a couple of meetings, but they were just really far out of town. One was in Madras, and it was just too much for us to try to get there.
Ontario.
It's about as far as you can go in Oregon.
So this one that's coming up is in Salem, and like Glenn said, they've invited both of us. They think it's important, and just like you. So we've already, I think Lance talked to Jim a little bit. We've already kind of planted the seed a little bit. It's a day meeting.
Yeah.
We'll be able to take off in the morning,
Tuesday,
go attend the meeting, and then get back here, and we'll be able to report back to you guys.
Offer to host it in the future, too.
Okay. Right, and
we have in the past.
Yeah, host it here.
Okay.
Yeah. Get them here.
Absolutely.
Okay, good idea.
Yeah, we have hosted it in the past. It went very well.
Okay, Mark, anything else?
No, I'm, thank you.
Okay, next.
Pleased to see the new static reel thing out on the self-serve pump. So whoever put that in, I noticed.
Yeah.
With 150 feet of wire.
Yeah, yeah, the old one was getting pretty crusty. Yeah. You pull it a little bit, and it wouldn't snap, and you pull it farther, and it
would. Well, this one's nice, because if you accidentally, you know, if it slips out of your hand, it just slowly returns back to the reel. It doesn't
not whipping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's good.
And they're all warranted and rebuildable.
Nice.
Excellent.
You can send it in 5 years, and they'll make it
nice.
Brand new. We put it back on. We don't have to buy a new one ever again. So, good. I'm glad to hear it.
I noticed the tray that it's sitting in was full of water. I don't know if that's supposed to drain or what.
Well, we do have holes drilled in that tray, and they periodically get you plugged.
I thought that was the case.
Feel free to
stick your finger in there. They're in the corners.
Spill kit. Feel free to pick the spill kit up, dump off the water off the top anytime you're there.
Yep.
Okay. Is the credit card machine working okay on the machine?
Had no issues whatsoever. The biggest problem tends to be operator error. He's not here, but Caucasian Dave, he can't seem to take his card out of the slot. And we finally made him write his name on the card, you know, so at least we know when we're spending all of his money, at least we know who to thank.
Well, let's keep an eye on this guy. Let's get fuel. We're going to be right behind him.
Right.
And we're making adjustments on the fuel.
At the pump?
No, sir. We haven't had to.
Okay.
Fuel price has stayed steady for probably 6 months.
Okay.
And it's because of our real aggressive watching of the oil markets, looking at trends, and trying to pick the right time to actually buy the stuff. And so far, we've been doing good. Like I said, I think consistency seems to be good. You know, the pilots, especially the local guys, they see our price. It's gone up 50 cents out here on the highway, but it's still remaining the same at the airport. And it seems to be gotten everybody happy. And I haven't had a lot of complaints.
Maybe, good job, man.
Maybe other people might be.
Anything else?
Complaints.
Nothing else? Nope. Any parting shots at us?
Well, speaking of parting, that leaves an opening on the committee.
And yes, we have.
Mark, as I understand it, you were the out-of-town member, and you're now living in town. Is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't really want that to be public information, but no.
Where is that again, Mark?
We'll write it down. Okay, disregard. No, the reason I asked that was because I know there's a couple people expressed interest, and they're out-of-town people. So, do we have an opening for an out-of-town person?
And Thomas would be a wonderful member of the community.
We are advertising for that weekend.
Yeah, have you received any applications?
I don't remember. I don't
do
think
we need
so.
To somehow formally change him from an out-of-town to an in-town? Because it's important to allow an out-of-town person to be in, so we just need to go through the hoops to be able to do that. If that's
the only record is probably at City Hall, so I'll
we could, you know, when they appoint the new person, they could change Mark's appointment to an in-city appointment and then make sure that the new appointee is out of the city.
Well, it'll make a difference when you're asking for applications, too.
Well, and I already have, so I need to see what
I... What did you put on the ask?
I don't know. It was 2 weeks ago. I can't remember yesterday. I'll check.
I think it just said airport committee. I don't think it said
requirements
in town or out of town.
But I think I received a call wanting to know if someone from out of town could apply.
Okay.
And I said we already had somebody, so...
I think you did because you mentioned that to me.
Yeah.
So, Jim, do I need to go somewhere in City Hall and change that, or...
It's just...
Just common knowledge?
It's just...
I think...
Okay.
Yeah,
are you living in town or out of town?
Yes, I'm living in town.
Okay, so...
It's okay.
The vacancy is an out-of-town vacancy. Yeah.
Oh, right. So that's it? We're
that's
done?
The deal.
Yeah.
That makes it easy. Okay, so we're looking for an out-of-town.
An out-of-town vacancy.
Well, you don't have to be out-of-town.
No, sorry. You can't...
But it could be.
Either or.
Is that how it's worded? Is it either or?
I'll have to check.
Yeah, we'll have to check on that.
I think it says can be or could be.
I think it says maybe, but I'm not sure. I'll check.
Yeah, so it does not only one member. You can check the
I'll check the code.
Yeah.
Okay, question?
One member can be from out of town. That's it. Because I used to be, and they switched me.
You used to be an out of town person, and now you're an in town person?
They switched me.
Well,
And so...
So
that,
now...
Today it would be my last meeting, according to the contract.
But you told Nicole that you were interested in reapplying, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you're applying as an in-city applicant?
Whatever would be my current status, which would be in-city.
Because you live in the city.
Okay.
All right. No problem. We're clear.
So renewals are by... generally by people wanting willing to serve again.
Yeah, and she's called everybody.
Are we going to keep the Tuesday meeting or can we switch meetings to Friday?
Well, that's totally up to this committee what day you want to meet. We did want to make sure that Lance and Terry could be here without having to go into the overtime status, and that those days that they can be here are Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So otherwise, then we're...
That could be a problem for me then. So,
well, Tuesday and Wednesday would be a problem.
Yeah.
So then, probably what needs to happen is you need to resign or not renew.
No,
need
not
to find
renew.
A new person to fill fill your seat. Yeah.
If that's going to be your choice, let me know because I'll need to monitor applications as they come in.
Okay.
And probably, if you do make that decision, let us know as soon as you make it so that we know what we're up against in terms of recruitment.
Okay. Rob, anything else?
Business licenses, did you ever pursue anything beyond where we were 2 months ago?
Yes, I think everybody has a business license.
FedEx and all of it.
We've heard, we've had no, it's been really quiet at the airport. Nobody's come in, nobody's, I need this done. I mean,
I'm trying to, just curious if that was pursued with the other people out there, and they all have them.
Check with Jim.
I don't know the answer for FedEx. I think I told you last time I would email you. But I walk out of here, I'm going to walk straight down there and ask.
There's a meeting at 3 o'clock, so.
I'll wait for him.
Okay. I've got info.
Jim, we're losing charge of the meeting.
Hey, Ralph, anything else? Jim? I want to make a comment. If Mark and I were to go back in all of our notes and what have you, I think Jim also, we would find we've kept asking about cars at the airport. We'd ask about telephones at the airport and a lot of the things that the three of you have accomplished in the last couple of months. And I want to commend you for that. That's
very refreshing.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
You've done
Thank
a lot
you.
In regards to that.
I guess any committee wants is for the people to do the job, and you guys are really doing your job well, and it really shows.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, it shows.
Yep. Looks good.
Yeah.
Jim?
Nothing.
Mr. Mayor?
I just would say that I think it'd be nice if Toby Murray and Enterprise are willing to let you do some PR. You could do a little bit of PR, just local PR, an article about how you have cars out there and how they've stepped up to the plate and helped, helped provide cars and
which
partnered with the city. And
well, the issue there is you might want to give some thought to the fact that I thought we were trying to only rent them to pilots.
Yeah, I know, but I just think it'd be a nice article to say what a nice partnership you have with.
How do you want to put that in the article?
The community thing.
I think it
might actually generate some business.
I don't think the last line of the article should say, and if you would like to rent a car, contact Terry and Lance at the airport.
But I think something nice about,
I think that's a great idea.
Something to say thank you to the local businesses that are partnering.
The general manager, Toby Murray, has been, I mean, any time we've come across a hurdle, the guy just jumps through whatever needs to be done, whether it be an American Express card. I mean, whatever little thing that we've had to work out, he's so interested in being a part of the community. I think that's a good idea to recognize.
The local business community always helps so much that I think we need to try to give them as much credit as we can, unless it's Subway sandwiches.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that too. Also, the Oregon Pilots. The Oregon Pilots Association has got a nice monthly magazine, and
that'd be a great place.
We need to get it out to our friendly
pilots. Especially, folks flying in, they need to know.
So
about
I'll email you or call you with the information at Oregon Pilots Association. They're always looking for articles like that in their newspaper.
Yeah, you can take a picture of the new, your upgraded off-hours facility and say, all that kind of stuff.
And we'd also like to encourage everybody to check the airport Facebook page, start adding to it if you see anything.
Really?
Lance has been working really hard on this thing.
Important municipal airport. So.
We've been putting, we've been putting like some fishing pictures. I got some, a 70-pound halibut I got last year is up there.
We could like it.
Seems to have a business.
Yeah, but we would like to encourage everybody to also encourage your friends. Look at this thing. Comment on us. Make suggestions or things like that. And we've been adding pictures of airplanes. Clear days. Lance has some nice, clear weather today. Let's go flying. We've been trying to get active on this, so we'd like to encourage you guys to look at the airport Facebook page, give us ideas, comments, or anything like that that we can.
The fish didn't come out of the pipe, did it?
Well, that would be the only way to
right
take
it.
No. I got a honey hole right off the jetty tips. You don't have to go all the way out to the chicken ranch.
Any comments? No. If that's the case, and Peggy, thank you for your notes. You didn't put down the combination, did you, to the lockbox on the notes?
No.
Okay.
But I remember it.
It's on the tape.
Yeah, it's on the tape, and I remember.
Didn't want to go out.
Put that in the press release.
Any other comments and questions? We're through.
If you put in Newport Municipal Airport.
Yeah, cool.
Hey,
yeah.
Mark. Let us know.